How many of you ever heard a saying, well, I'm looking for the perfect church, and then you're told, yeah, but once you get there, it won't be perfect anymore. How many of you here are perfect this morning? I didn't get any hands go up there. I got one that started to raise his hand and had second thoughts there. We all have our imperfections, don't we? And, you know, sometimes it's things we do, things we say. Sometimes it's just physical things about us that are not perfect, you know? And we think about perfection. And when you really think about perfection, you think that's the best there is, you know, when it's perfect. And it seems like when we start out sometimes to have something be done perfectly, there is always some kind of little snag that happens. It could be the perfect day, except for some little incident that happens. And you can get up in the morning sometimes and say, oh, what a beautiful day this is. And everything's just going great. And you get in your car and you head for work. And somebody cuts you off and you have to slam on your brakes. And right then, most of the time, we don't think two perfect thoughts when that happens. And it seems like this past week particularly, a lot of people are out there trying our patience and stuff when it comes to driving. I've never been cut off in traffic so much as I have this week. And people run stop signs in front of you and things like that. And in downtown Nashville, there's one particular place where there's construction, and it's a two-way stop on one street. And the other street right now, because they're working on it, everybody thinks that, well, they must have a stop sign now, so they just keep right on going. And I've noticed people almost have accidents there a number of times because people don't stop. Perfection. Well, we want to talk today about some perfect men. And you say, hold it. This is Mother's Day. Yes, it's Mother's Day. So maybe I should rephrase that, because the Bible also talks about perfect men and women. And you all know me, I don't like to preach theme messages when it comes to specific days. So I decided we're going to go with something that's a little bit different than what you would normally expect to hear on Mother's Day. So we're going to talk about some perfect men. And I only say that because the Bible references here we're going to use specifically address men. But there was a fellow in the Bible by the name of Noah. How many of you have ever heard of Noah? Of course, we all generally know who Noah is. Even people that don't go to church have typically heard of Noah. And the ark, and I know I see this little cartoon every once in a while, and it's a picture of the ark and the animals on the ark, and the ark's got all kinds of little holes in it because Noah took woodpeckers on the ark. You know, little cartoon things like that. But we all have heard about Noah and the ark. We've also heard about the great flood that God visited upon planet Earth. But here's what the Bible has to say about this man, Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. The Hebrew word, tamim, here simply means, without blemish, complete, full, perfect, sincerely, sound, without spot, undefiled, uprightly, whole. The Bible says Noah was perfect. God looked down upon all the sin and perverseness that was going on planet Earth, and it says he found Noah, and Noah was perfect before God. And you say, but we read on in the Bible after the flood was over, Noah had some imperfections there. But God said he was perfect. And let's go on to somebody else that's talking about here. Abram. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. God gave Abram a commandment there to walk before him and to be perfect. Now, I know we have people that run around all the time, well, I'm not perfect. You know, and we kind of sometimes use that as an excuse for our flaws and our wrongdoings. I'm not perfect. You know, there's one thing about people that we have, I think all of us realize, is we like to cop out on stuff once in a while. Find some excuse for what we do. Well, it's somebody else's fault. I'm not perfect, so on. But God has spoken to Abram here and said, be thou perfect. Well, I want to read this same verse from the Complete Jewish Bible. And it says, when Abram was 99 years old, Adonai appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Walk in my presence and be pure-hearted. You need to be perfect before God, pure-hearted before God. Interestingly enough, as God, time goes on and you're reading in the book of Leviticus, for example, and God is leading the children of Israel out of the bondage that they've been in for some 400 years in the land of Egypt, and he is taking them to the promised land, and he institutes certain things. One of them being the sacrifice. Now you say, hold it a second. There were sacrifices before because God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. He said, Abraham, take this son that I have given you, that I promised you that through him your seed would be as the sands of the sea, as the stars of the sky. Now I want you to take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him to me. That'd be tough. Here we've got a new baby boy back there, not even a week old yet, I don't think, or maybe today, I guess, this evening, a week old. And his grandpa, great-grandpa, sitting here in the front, and the age difference is not quite the same there as what it was, but close, when God is talking to Abraham here. And I'm sure if somebody told Arthur to take this brand new baby boy up on the hillside or up on the mountain somewhere and sacrifice him, there'd be a great grandpa here that'd be putting up some kind of a fight because he wouldn't want to do it. But Abraham has been told by God, take him up there. But Abraham, being upright and perfect before God, trusts God to know that God knows what he's doing. And sometimes we, and maybe our lack of faith sometimes, we don't trust God to know what God is doing. God, are you sure you know what you're doing here? God, could we talk about this a minute? Do you really understand? How about what you told me? If God promised something and you have been obedient to God, God is faithful to fulfill his promises. Although it may not come the way that we think it should. But it says that Abraham was perfect. Going back now to Leviticus. And that's in chapter 22, verse 21. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in sheaves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish in them. To be perfect. Can you imagine the inspection that these offerings, these sheep or whatever it was to be, had to go through? No blemishes. Boy, you look around today and it's hard to find something without some kind of a blemish. You know? But this is what God had said. Well, let's talk about another person here. His name was Job. And if we go back and we find that actually Job is really probably the oldest book in the Bible. Not sure exactly what the time frame was that Job existed, but probably before even the time of the Exodus. Going all this distance back in Job chapter 1 verse 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed," and if you want to translate into a modern day word, "hated evil." The complete Jewish Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. Well, I hate to say it today, but within the church today, there's a lot of people that don't really shun evil all that much. There's a lot of churches that don't shun evil all that much. But he's to be perfect, he says. He was perfect. In fact, the Bible tells us in this narrative that Satan himself appeared before God, and God said to him, "Have you observed my servant Job? He is a perfect man." You go on to read the story. God allowed Satan to mete out whatever Satan so desired upon Job's life, with the exception of taking his life. Job's family was gone. His wife was left. Maybe a few servants. You read, his wife said, "Job, curse God and die." Job went through some tough times. His body sure wasn't perfect during that time, because it says he had boils and all sorts of things that came upon him. His body was physically imperfect. But the thing about Job is he held on to what God had said, and he didn't matter what had come. He believed that God would take him through the situation. His friends, his buddies came along. "Job, what did you do wrong?" Did you ever have something happen in your life and somebody come along and say, "Well, what did you do wrong to deserve this?" I've had it happen to me. When I was, actually, I don't think I'd turned 18 yet. I was still 17, and I had two traffic accidents in 18 days, I think it was. I was in downtown Los Angeles sitting at a stoplight and got rear-ended. 18 days later in the same car, which had just been freshly repaired from that accident, I had another accident, just a minor one. And one of my friends at the church, "What have you done wrong that this would happen to you?" Well, I have to be honest, the only thing I did wrong is I just didn't look close enough before I changed lanes that last time. But they were trying to say, "What have you done wrong spiritually or whatever that God let this happen to you?" Sometimes things just happen. But God is being with Job, and Job is standing before God, and even though he's going through all these trials and tribulations, his wife, his friends, everyone has turned against him, he's still saying, "I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to stand for God." Yahweh God even talked about David as being a man after his own heart. Well, what a compliment to have Father God say, look at David. He's a man after my own heart. And you all know the stories about David. All we think about, you know, David, he went out there, man, and with the five stones and the sling, and he went out there and he killed Goliath. And he did this and he did that, and he was the mighty king. But David sure had some imperfections in his life. He was a murderer. Although he himself did not physically kill the man, he gave the orders that set it up so the man would die. He was guilty of other sins in his life. But yet God says, this is a man after my own heart. Well, what does Yahweh God have to say about you? I hope that when he looks down, that he says, there's Ken Unger, and he's walking perfectly before me. And I'll face it, I'll be honest, I've had some imperfections in my life. I've done some things I shouldn't have done. And we all have. We may seemingly have walked perfect in one area and failed in others, just as David did. What does God have to say about you? And what we're going to read here, he's talking about the church in particular, and I'm talking about the church. And what is the church? It's not this building we're in. And I know that legally, in some ways, this building is recognized right now as a church. But you know what? If we move out, it could be anything. It could end up being a bar. That's happened. So it is not the building. By the way, some bars have become churches. So it's the people that become the church. You and I are the church. God is not talking when he's writing, when he's speaking to the apostles and prophets about buildings. He's talking about you and I. When he said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, he didn't say go out and build some great cathedral on this rock. He's saying, upon this foundation of faith, I am through you going to build my church, which is compromised to the people that are my children. So what's he saying? Well, 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He wants the church, you and I, to be perfect. I'll read that again in the Complete Jewish Bible. You will have to suffer only a little while. After that, God, who is full of grace, the one who called you to his eternal glory in union with the Messiah, will himself restore, established, and strengthen you and make you firm. Yahweh God is the one that's going to make you perfect. We cannot make ourselves perfect. I don't care how hard we try. I cannot make myself perfect, because there's that human nature in there that keeps wanting to rise back up and do things that are wrong. Perfect. James chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. Did you ever offend anybody? Every last one of us here today has offended somebody at some time. And let's face it, sometimes you may have said what was perfectly right, true, and honest and offended them because they didn't want to do it that way. Sometimes you can just walk past somebody and offend them. I remember getting phone calls a few times from gentlemen who went to the same church we were attending. And because I happened to walk by him and spoke to somebody else without having spoke to him, I offended him. And he'd call me at home and say, "You offended me." Happened to have some friends that went to the same church, and we had known them for many, many years, and we'd go out to lunch with them. And he called me up and said, "You offended me because you didn't take me out to lunch." We offend people sometimes when we don't even mean to offend them because they just want to be offended. Let's face it, there's some people out there just looking for an excuse to be offended. If any man offend not in the word, the same is perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Now, I know that we can offend a lot of people with our words, and sometimes we have things to say that are not necessarily nice. And we need to bridle our tongue and watch what we say. Sometimes we need to just keep our mouth shut. And that's hard for some people to do. Because they got to come back no matter what happened. Well, they said, and I'm going to let them have it, man. I'm going to blast them. But he's saying here, bridle your tongue and be perfect. Sometimes it takes the Spirit of God working in us to help us to do that. Because our old human nature wants to blast them sometimes. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He's telling us to be perfect. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's go back. Verse 21. Make you perfect. We're never going to make ourselves perfect. I don't care how hard we try. We're not going to make ourselves perfect. But it says, let him make us perfect. Okay, so you say, all right, you convinced me I'm not perfect. Well, here's what Yahweh God's prophet had to say in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Our righteousness, the goodness that we do, is as filthy rags. And I have a little note here because I looked that up. And the word filthy there is a mild translation of what the word actually implied. Our righteousness, it's filthy, it's dirty. And some people think that they're going to get into heaven by their good works, but it says it doesn't matter what good you have done, it is as filthy rags. We can't do it on our own. So, if our righteousness is as filthy rags, then what are we supposed to do? Well, Paul writes to the Hebrews and to the Ephesians, just to name a couple here. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11, If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? If the law had made us perfect, why would Jesus have needed to come? Because the law and trying to live by the law does not make us perfect. How many of you obey the law all the time? Yeah, if I see a hand go up, we're going to have to really pray for you after church. I'll guarantee everyone here that drives a car breaks the law at some point. In fact, if you stop to read some of the laws, you can go out and break laws every day and not even know you broke the law because it was so archaic and so ridiculous at some point or another. But it's still on the books and it's still the law. There's some laws here in Tennessee that I'm sure most of us break at some time or another that are just downright stupid, but they're on the books. We cannot achieve perfection by the law. So are you saying, well, we don't have to worry about being obedient? You better be obedient to the law. You're going to end up in a slammer. You know? I was driving a vehicle the other day for a company I work part-time for. Police car following me. How many of you try your best to drive perfect when there's a cop behind you? We all do. Let's face it. And so I just tried my best to follow my normal routine. And at a particular point, I always try to particularly be in a particular lane because of where I've got a turn coming up, and I change lanes. And guess what? He changed lanes right behind me. Okay, I'm saying to myself, I've not broken any traffic laws. He surely can't pull me over. We come up to a red light. We sit there. The light turns green. And as the light turns green and I accelerate to go through the light, guess what? He turned on his blue lights. So I went to the next corner and turned. Pulled over. What could I have done? He walks up to the car or to the truck. I roll down the window. He says, howdy, partner. Did you know that your license expired on your truck there? And I replied back, yes, sir, I know it's expired. I know that the renewal has been applied for. Okay, just wanted to make sure you knew. You're not getting a ticket or anything. Boy, you know what? Did you, even though you know you did nothing wrong, you start to sweat a little bit? You know? It happens. Technically, in a sense, I had broken the law because I was driving a vehicle I knew the license had expired on. So the law doesn't make us perfect. That's why God had to send Jesus, send His Son, that His sacrifice and the washing of our sins away by His blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary would cover those sins that were in our life. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourself. It is the gift, G-I-F-T, gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. In Titus, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is what He has done, not what we have done. The only thing we can do in this action here is to ask Jesus to come into our heart and to accept what he has done for us and then do our best to live for him. But on our own, we cannot do that. We can never achieve perfection on our own. You see, it's Yahweh God in us that makes us perfect. 1 John 4:14-17. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in the love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. It is God in us that makes us perfect. John chapter 17, verses 20-23. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Let's go back there. That they may be perfect in one. It is God in us that makes us perfect. That's the only way we're ever going to be perfect. So, if you're living for God, God is in you, and you're doing your absolute best to serve God and walk in his ways and love him as he loved you, God sees us as perfect. Now, I realize the world may not see it the same way, because the world doesn't see same things the same way God does anyway. And so they can find all kinds of fault with you. And sometimes they fault with you because you are walking with God. But if you're walking with God, is what it said there in those verses, God sees us as perfect. Isn't that fantastic? God sees us as perfect when we're dwelling in him. And I know sometimes Satan comes along and he tries to bring up things of the past maybe and convince you of the wrongs that you have done and how you can't possibly live for God because of things that have happened in your past. But God says, if you're dwelling in me, you are perfect. The perfect church. When you walk into a church, if the people in that church are dwelling in God and God is dwelling in them, you have found the perfect church. And Father, I thank you today for your word. And I just pray, Father, that it would speak to hearts today, wherever they may be listening to this message. And Father, if there's anyone that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, whether it's here or abroad, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts today and help them to realize that they can find perfection in you through Jesus Christ. That when you come in, when you fill their heart with your love and you come into them through the blood of Calvary that was shed upon the cross, Father, that they become perfect in your sight. I thank you for what you're doing in lives today, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.